Adams. A call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
It's another Sunday night here in Central Florida. Time for another three-hour tour of the American Adversaries, the classic Sunday night edition. It's almost Thanksgiving Day, and one of the biggest turkeys in our studio is taking the night off tonight. Hi, Lair Adams. How are you? But don't worry. Our freezer is chock full of juicy turkeys with lots of interesting giblets to dish out to you over the next 3 hours. They include Carl Jackson,
Hello,
Johnny
everyone.
Guns, Jeff Sennis, me filling in for Lair, Nostradamus, and of course, the biggest turkey of them all, Christopher Hart.
Ready to do some gobbling come Thursday, folks. That's right. I hope you're ready for that, too. Thanksgiving holiday. Can't wait for it. All right, and I can't wait for tonight's show. I hope you couldn't either. You are listening to the American Adversaries, as Nostradamus said, the classic edition. Lair's out tonight and out of town.
Sure.
But he'll be back tomorrow night and next Sunday as well. By the way, we won't be here Thursday or Friday, but we will be back next Sunday. So if you're a regular Sunday listener, there will be no interruption in your schedule. And I hope you listen during the week, too. All right, so that's right. We're live as usual, departing on our Sunday evening three-hour tour. Finally got a little break in the weather where it's kind of turning nice for a day, and then it's going to get nasty again. So, but it's supposed to be nice for Thanksgiving, so hopefully we'll have some nice weather to be thankful for, along with all of our other blessings that we have here in life. And 407-774-8255 is our number. And don't forget, we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Mercury Free, 7 days, or at least 6 days a week. And don't forget my friend Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399 for the best in mercury-free or any kind of dental care for that matter. All right. Yeah, we got a big show lined up for you tonight, folks. One thing that we probably won't be talking about much, or actually a couple of things, the Ferguson situation, because there's
nothing
no
to say.
And it's not going to happen tonight. Evidently, there's been an announcement that they will reconvene in the morning. Mm-hmm. So we will not know anything at least until tomorrow morning. So for right now, if you want to satiate your appetite for Ferguson stuff, go to Town Hall and look up Carl's article. What's it called again, Carl?
Black heroes aren't black thugs. I mean, black... Black thugs aren't black heroes.
It works both ways, but it's certainly a great article, and you'll find it once again at townhall.com.
And isn't Mount Rushmore in the Black Hills of South Dakota? So it's already a black monument.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I didn't think about that.
Okay. All right. Unless you really want to get something off your chest about Ferguson, we probably won't be going there a whole lot. We got a lot of other things to talk about. Same with the Iranian situation. Evidently, there's not a deal yet there, and I'm hoping that there won't be a deal, nor any extension of talks. Now, Abe Katzman's scheduled to be with us tomorrow, and we'll spend some time, considerable amount of time, talking about that with Abe Katzman, because it is obviously impending disaster for Israel should Iran get their hands on a nuclear weapon. And they will just blackmail basically all the Middle East and Europe. And and by proxy, they will end up blackmailing us. They may not have a missile that can reach us right away, but they certainly will have the capability of reaching Israel and most of Europe, including Germany.
Our allies, that is, if the current administration continues to call them our allies.
Yeah.
They may just turn their back on them.
Yeah. One thing we will be talking about, though, is the new nominee to replace Eric with Holder. I'm kind of tongue-in-cheek, if you will, calling that segment of the show is going to be all about Loretta's lynchings and how she and other prosecutors around the country have basically taken to stealing people's property. At least that's what I would call it. We'll see what you might think about it. We'll be talking about that in the second hour of the show, and we'll have our Who Said That contest tonight, as usual, in the second hour of the show. Sunny, our California glow girl, will be joining us tonight, and we'll get her take on the immigration edict. She's right there in Arizona, and she said last week that it was her preference they just slammed the door, and stop the illegals from coming in.
She's so mean.
Isn't she, though, for a Democrat? How do you like that? And Johnny Gunn's got some WTF news lined up. Even though Lair's not here, he has recorded his closing comments, and so we'll have those. Nostra Dennis has some things from the past, and Carl's working on his corner over here. So he's putting it together. He's getting all his lumber lined up.
He's working at it anyway. Yeah.
So we got a lot to do tonight, and we'll probably give away a couple of bottles of Roxy Pacifics, the great all-natural kelp solution, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, good for whatever ails your skin. I got a little rash the other day. I don't know how I got it, but I squirted some of that stuff on it because I keep a bottle in my car, and then I put some more on it after I took a shower that night, and the next day there was nothing.
Now, if you live in the car, it gets hot, doesn't it?
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, hot, cold, don't have to refrigerate it. You
nope.
can keep it in a 90-degree
Nope.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Still works.
But I have used it on hot days, and it's refreshing nonetheless when you put it on your face.
A little mist.
Whether it's a little warm or not, because it mists on, correct?
I wouldn't recommend leaving it in the car, though. It does warp the bottle.
If you leave it, I learned that the hard way. If you leave it in the back, one time I remember I had a bunch of records. You remember the old LPs?
Yeah. Turn it to soup bowls.
Exactly. Yeah. What happened to them all? They just warped right up. But fixtheskin.com is the location where you can find and buy Roxy Pacifics. If you get a 2-ounce bottle, they'll throw in a 1-ounce bottle for free. That way you'll have one for home and one for on the road. And you can carry it in your pocket, in your purse, or in your car like I do. FixTheSkin.com and or RoxyPacifics.net. R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. We'll be talking a little bit about the mayors. But I see we have a caller already on the line, so we'll go ahead and accommodate him rather than have him wait. So Stan from Orlando, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Thank you, Chris. Hello to you and Nostra Dennis. And I just want to point out that in President Barry Obama's post-election press conference, to me, he confirmed the extent of his lack of reality contact and the severity of his mental illness, talking about these invisible non-voters. I think that incapacity disqualifies you for that office. And I think his mental illness has gone so far as to apply. And M. Scott Peck, M.D., in 1983, published a book talking about how this narcissistic personality disorder morphs into something he calls the evil personality disorder, and very briefly, consistent, destructive scapegoating behavior, intolerance to criticism, other forms of narcissistic injury, pronounced concern with public image, contributing to pretentiousness and denial of hateful feelings, intellectual deviousness with an increased likelihood of a mild schizophrenic disturbance of thinking. This is Barry, and he needs to go based on the fact that he's incapacitated mentally.
Now, Stan, are you a medical professional? Are you rendering a verdict like this?
No, I'm a retired lawyer from another state, and any lawyer will tell you that's been in private practice, half of lawyering is psychological counseling. So, no, I don't have that, but I do have other credentials.
Well, you know what? Our friend Dr. Ken Viak is a psychologist. And he has come to a lot of the same kinds of conclusions. I myself think Obama is not a good man.
Yeah, I think it's beyond that. I think he's remember when President Eisenhower had a heart attack and President and Vice President Nixon had to take over for a time. I think we're ready to get Smoking Joe in there to go after these Islamists for the next 2 years
until
we can get Rand Paul and Cruz elected in a couple of years. The book is called The Encounter, People of the Lie, M. Scott Peck, M.D., 1983, page 129, if anybody wants to check it out.
People of the Lion?
People of the Lie.
People of the Lie.
Of the Lie. F. Scott, and he's a very laid back. He wrote The Road Less Traveled. And this was written in 83 before we ever heard of Barry Obama.
I think I have heard of this book. It seems to jog. But let me just comment about what you're saying there. at this point, what you're alleging is arguable. In other words, you could make a case for it.
But a strong case.
But there could also be a case made from the other side, I believe. And at this point, it would be political poison for, I believe, the Republicans to take that tack. And they wouldn't have the gonads to do it anyway, and you know that, Stan. But what they can do is understand that's the type of person that they are dealing with and proceed accordingly. And I don't think that they do. I think that these guys are still living in a bygone era where they think that this guy is just really playing a real, real hardball politics with them. And indeed, he is doing that. But I do believe that he's gone a little bit further than that, which is what you're implying here.
Yeah.
So,
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, even though there may be some validity to your argument, and certainly what you describes Barack Hussein Obama, the problem is, okay, well, what now? What are we going to do about it now? And it is just not going to happen, politically speaking. But what could possibly happen, given what you just said, is these people often, they make mistakes. They're not perfect.
Right.
And he could push the envelope so far. I was talking with my brother yesterday. My nephew's in town. He's getting ready to head on out. He's being transferred to Germany with the Army. So we were spending a little time together. And we were talking and speculating. If Obama could get so carried away with himself because of these traits that you're talking about, that he could actually push it to the point where Democrats are the ones who begin to call for his head, metaphorically speaking.
Nixon did not resign until the Democratic leaders in the House and Senate walked up the steps of Capitol Hill and over to the White House and said, Mr. President, enough is enough.
And remember, it was the Democratic Congress under FDR that said, listen, man, all of these stints in office, they're over, buddy. Too many for presidents.
And one more thing to think about, Stan. Who is crazier? The man who has lost his sense of reason and his grasp of reality, or people who try to reason with a man who's lost his sense of reason and reality?
That's an excellent point. And my main point is, it's not just a matter of ideology. He is incapable of doing other than what he's doing because of his mental aberration.
I think you're right.
Yeah, well, I would agree with you.
Mentioning.
Yeah, we got to go to the break, Stan. I want to thank you for calling. Do we have your address and everything?
You've sent me stuff in the past, yeah.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, if you want to give it to Jeff again, we'll send you some stuff again. You make some excellent points. You make some excellent points, and especially your last one leads me into the next segment, which I'm basically going to be repeating something I said during the week's show. But I'm even more adamant about it after seeing the talking heads on, in particular the Republicans, on the shows this morning. So thank you, Stan.
The talking heads, I love that group. Oh, it's the American Adversaries Sunday Night Political Professional Wrestling. We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you are listening to the American Adversaries Sunday Evening Classic Edition 3-hour tour. And don't forget, you got live radio right up to 11 o'clock tonight.
Ooh,
and you got your choice.
You got 7 hours of live radio in 6 hours' time. Is that crazy?
That's crazy. It sure is, because you get us for 3 hours right here on AM 660 The Answer and simulcasting on 1520 WBZW. At 8 o'clock, you get to go up to 950 WTLN and join me listening to the John Butler Book Show, and he goes live from 8 to 9. And then you can come back down the dial, because live from 8 to 11 is Armed American Radio with Mark Walters and his gang. And, they're going to have a lot to talk about, because on December 24th, the UN Small Arms Treaty goes into effect. And we'll be talking about that in coming weeks ourselves. But I want to go back to Stan's phone call, because I wanted to talk about that in this segment anyway. Because what I said Friday, and I said actually started last Sunday, certainly Thursday and Friday, I was saying, do not reward this president's behavior by responding to it in any way whatsoever. Period. Zip, zero, move on. And if you want to make a fight over something else over this, okay, but this should be over for now. And the logic can be, look, the president's already taken action. He's created a lot of hard feelings over this. Why don't we move on to something else where we think maybe we can work together, establish for the first time some sort of working relationship with this president, and then we'll come back to this really, really hard issue. And if we don't get a chance to do that, well, he's already done something, and we'll just take it up with the next president. The worst thing you could do is reward his behavior by responding to it. And that's what Stan is saying. He's talking. You respond to this guy like all the Republicans, with the exception of Ted Cruz, we're talking about this morning, then you are simply going to ensure that he will do it again, and he'll make it even bigger the next time. And the small arms trade treaty is coming up, and who knows who else he's going to make a deal with. He wants a deal so bad with Iran, they keep giving things to Iran. And, of course, Iran's sitting there going, well, they gave us everything plus, so why don't we just keep asking for more? Because, lo and behold, they're going to keep giving it, these stupid idiots. Well, of course, we got our inside guy. Maybe. Either that or he is really a stupid idiot. Carl, you want to say something?
No, well, I'm going to dive into this a little deeper into Carl's corner here, but I just want to say that's an excellent point. I was listening to you guys, particularly on Friday evening, and I love that response. I mean, quite honestly, elections have consequences. Mr. President, you didn't win, so you can be as petulant as you want. You can do things that are illegal. We're going to go ahead and work with the people, and we're going to put the people's business on your desk, and you can choose to disregard the people, or you can be for the people.
Why couldn't have John Boehner and or Mitch McConnell come out and said, Mr. President, elections have consequences. We heard that from a wise man one time. You know, and poke him right in the eye with it, just like Carl said. But no, there's Mark Begich, the Republican senator from Alaska, there on Fox this morning. I believe it was Fox. It was one of them. And he was going on about, oh, yeah, we got to come up with our own plan. We got to put our plan on the table. If you do that, the president's just going to walk and strut around and say, see what I made the GOP do. They weren't going to do anything until I strong-armed them into it. And then get ready for some more. And then Obama would be stupid not to do it again. If it works, you do it again.
See, that's what I wanted them to do all along.
Yeah. Yeah, see, this is what it takes to work with these old nasty Republicans. You gotta really kind of, you know, grab them and put them in an arm lock. You got to twist their arm. You got to play hardball. That's what he would be proving if these stupid idiots like Mark Begich and all these other fools who came up with this so-called, what was the immigration deal out of the Senate called? It was come up with the Band of Eight. The Gang of Eight's deal, right. Now, Marco Rubio's pulled out, but evidently there's still some Republicans in there pushing that deal. No! No! That's what the answer should be to the president. No, Mr. President, we are not going to play your game. We're going to try to take care of the nation's business. And as far as we're concerned, we can't do anything until January anyway. And so what we're going to do is wait until January, and we will begin at that point to put together a real budget and to deal with real problems, including ISIS and you name it. So, all right. All right, we got to call another caller on the line who has his own recipe for what the GOP should do. This would be Don. Don, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
That's
and by the way, Don, I had mailed you something and it was returned to me. So evidently, we got something wrong in your address—a T-shirt. So
that's
if you would,
right.
If you would stay on the line and make sure you give Jeff your address again, so I can mail that out to you again tomorrow. I'm sorry about that.
Appreciate you remembering that, because I just thought about it just a minute ago while I was on hold.
Well, I actually got it back in the mail. It was kind of beat up, the package, but I got it back in the mail about a week ago. So it was probably a bit out there floating around for a while.
Well, send that one to me, because I'm going to beat that T-shirt up anyway. I'm going
to
be wearing
it. You'll get the same T-shirt, but it's going to have to be in a new envelope. But give Jeff your information. But go ahead with your call, please.
Listen, you know, I felt like the president not waiting until a new Congress comes on, Mitch McConnell and
Boehner.
Said that they would give him a bill just as soon as they could, you know. And he didn't want a bill. He wanted the issue. He wanted to be able to stick it in. He didn't stick his thumb in their eye, you know.
Yep.
And he's acting like a petulant child.
You're absolutely right.
Well, Don, this was urgent, though. I mean, it wasn't urgent in 08 when he got elected, or in 2010 when he still had the whole House and Senate, or in 2012 when he was going for re-election. But it's urgent now. We have to get this done immediately.
Yeah.
Well, okay, now what do you do when you have a petulant child throwing a tantrum.
You give him a timeout.
You definitely give him a, and you take his toys away from him.
Yep.
All right, now, what toys do we have that we can, because we can't defund his not enforcing the law.
Right.
Can't defund that.
What they could defund was they could cut back on the White House budget, say, for instance, right?
What? Air Force One.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Make him take U.S. Air.
Put her in the hangar and leave it in the hangar. And you can cut back on green seeds.
Yeah. I see.
You talk about Michelle's diet, right? The greens?
No, not only that, but don't let him fly Marine One up to Camp David. And then cut his gasoline down. Make him stay in the White House with Michelle. It was crazy.
Hey, listen.
That's cruel and unusual,
Don. I was going to say, we want to punish him. We don't want to torture him.
But
I like where you're going. I love this, Don. I love what you're talking about. Because what you're talking about is what we're saying. You do not reward his behavior. You give him a negative incentive so that he doesn't do it again the next time.
Take away his toys and just keep thinking of ways to torture him and make him stop acting like an ugly little brat.
Well, making him stay home with the old lady is torture enough, I'm sure.
That'd be high on my list if I was in Congress. Not Dan Webster. That'd be the first thing I'd propose.
Are you listening, Congressman Webster? Because he does listen to our show.
We'll get him back on the show, and we'll point that out to him. Don, we got to go to the break, but I thank you so much. And once again, stay on the line so we can get that proper address so I can get you your shirt.
Thank you.
All right, happy Thanksgiving. God bless you so much.
That's why I love our listeners. Stan, Don, I mean, we're only half an hour into a three-hour tour. We already have a couple of brilliant ideas on how to fix this country. Don't try to get any of us elected, though. Oh, no. We'd rather tell other people what to do. We're here at the American Adversaries. Coming up, I'll predict the past.
Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got your dial in the right place if you're listening to us on AM 660 The Answer or 1520 WBZW, and we certainly appreciate that. And if you're listening online, we appreciate that, too, as well. And we know there are a lot of you out there, and we appreciate that, too, as well. And you, of course, can call us at 407-774-8255. We'll be here until 8 o'clock when we'll hand it off to John Butler Book on 950 WTLN and Armed American Radio right here on AM 660 The Answer. In the meantime, though, we want to say a few words before we get to Nostradamus and his past, because a big man here in Central Florida has passed, and of course I'm referring to, well, in case you haven't heard, Mayor John Land, the longtime mayor of Apopka, who was mayor for 61 years, not 61 years straight, but 61 years total. He died at a Florida hospital, evidently on Friday night, and he was at an event Friday evening along with his wife, and he was being honored. It was an event in his honor, and he was presented an award, Lifetime Achievement Award, if you will, by the new mayor, Mayor Wolsheimer of Apopka, and Mayor Teresa Jacobs of Orange County. And evidently on the way home, and he was being chauffeured by a police officer, which was customary. And that was being provided by, you know, as a courtesy by the new mayor. And by the time they got him home, they realized that something was very wrong. And at the hospital, he ended up dying the next day. And he certainly did a lot for Apopka. Apopka is a huge, in geographic terms, it's one of the largest cities in Florida, I believe, certainly Central Florida. And he nurtured along a community, and which could have ended up like a Ferguson or something like that, folks, but it didn't. And he was a fatherly type figure, and he was sort of old school politics where your word was golden, or if it wasn't, you didn't belong. And certainly, even though he was no longer the mayor of Apopka, Apopka is going to definitely be missing Mayor John Land. Another big mayor I just want to mention also has died, and that would be Marion Barry. And no matter what we think of Marion Barry, he was held in high regard by his constituents in Washington, D.C. I don't want to compare the two men. other than to say that two cities will be in mourning this week because each has lost a favorite of theirs. So we offer our condolences certainly to Apopka and the people of Washington, D.C., and the families of both of these gentlemen. You know, we're all going to be there in the end. So, folks, no point in making enemies to be waiting for us on the other side.
You know, you got through that whole story without even mentioning crack cocaine. Congratulations.
Thank you very much for that. But, of course, that's what most of us remember him for. But the people of Washington, D.C. remember him for being a fighter for their cause. That's why they kept reelecting him, even after he went to prison for tooting some old or smoking some of that old crack cocaine. So, but our condolences and our wishes go to their families, and our prayers go to their to God for their souls and for their families as well. Nostradamus, I think it's time. Jeff, do we have that in there? There we go.
Yes, once again, filling in for Johnny Guns, filling in for me. I am Nostradamus with another edition of Nostradamus Predicts the Past. The stories we tried to get to last week but just ran out of time. In Monmouth County, New Jersey, a judge heard arguments last week in a lawsuit filed against the New Jersey School District by a family who claims the Pledge of Allegiance discriminates against children with atheist beliefs. The suit was filed. Identified in court papers, the couple is called John and Jane Doe. They wouldn't even let people know their names. But they sued the Mattawan Aberdeen Regional School District back in February, alleging that the phrase under God in the pledge is discriminatory. An attorney for the American Humanist Association's Apigniani Humanist Legal Center, David Neos, says public schools should not engage in an exercise that tells students that patriotism is tied to a belief in God. Such a daily exercise portrays atheists and humanist children as second-class citizens and certainly contributes to anti-atheist prejudices. The judge heard the arguments but has not yet made a ruling.
This is just ridiculous, but I mean, this continues to be a plague on us. I wish the Supreme Court would take up one of these decisions, one of these cases, and make a decision once and for all. You know, basically tell these people to go, you know, go shag themselves.
Yep, Tennessee.
By the way, you know where I got that word shag?
Yeah, I'm thinking the movie with Austin Powers.
Yeah, baby.
Actually, that's not where I got it.
No way.
That was a reference that Thomas Jefferson used to that type of behavior.
Really? Okay. First Austin Powers.
Who's the shagger?
No.
Our next story is about Tennessee, because you're the only 10 I see, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Which may be the next state.
It was like a call when he said that.
Hey, just listen. You know that line doesn't work at all.
I'm just impressed that you remembered that line so quickly.
Anyway, Tennessee might be the next state to put Common Core on the chopping block. Two Republican state senators introduced a bill this week to repeal the national curriculum, and that will make the volunteer state the third to opt out of the controversial program. Senator Mike Bell is chairman of the Government Operations Committee and says, "I believe we need control over our own state standards." Senator Dolores Gresham pointed out, "Tennessee became the fastest improving state in the nation before implementing Common Core by employing its own locally and state-controlled standards. Originally, Indiana, Oklahoma, and South Carolina repealed it, and similar movements are underway in Missouri, North Carolina, and Louisiana. Alaska, Nebraska, Texas, and Virginia never signed on in the first place." So Common Core is starting to crumble at its foundations.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, it was an article in today's, I believe, Orlando Sentinel, might have been yesterday's, where they were talking about they're going to relax the standards on the teachers, you know, until these tests basically can be worked in over a couple of years. So obviously they're trying to deal with problems that this is creating. The teachers hate it, as they should, and they just need to repeal it here too.
Well, that's how to raise the bar, by lowering the standards.
Yeah.
Okay. If you go to our Facebook page, search for American Adversaries, you'll find a cartoon that was pulled from the Indianapolis Star on Friday. Did you guys hear about this one? The publisher of the paper decided that it was racist. I'm going to pass this around the room. There's the original cartoon, and then there's the updated cartoon. And what it is it's a family sitting around the Thanksgiving table. And, Chris, can you read the quote in the little bubble balloon there?
Thanks to the president's immigration order, we'll be having extra guests this Thanksgiving.
And you can see from outside the window a couple people peering in the window and one guy trying to climb in.
Yeah.
Now, do you see the difference between the top cartoon and the bottom cartoon?
Yeah, the man has a mustache in the top cartoon and not a mustache in the bottom cartoon.
Now, does that make it less racist?
That's the only change?
That's the only change.
They took the mustache off
it,
the...
It is not obvious that the people climbing in the window are Hispanic.
Not at all. As a matter of fact, they don't look Hispanic at all. There's a woman who looks obviously white, or if anything, perhaps Asian, and a child who looks kind of like he came out of the Charlie Brown cartoons, and then a guy who's dressed in almost like a hunting outfit.
Yeah, but it could be seen as a migrant worker outfit, I guess.
I don't know.
The cartoon is published by The Star by political cartoonist Gary Varvel. And the paper's executive editor, Jeff Taylor, said many readers were offended and called it racist. Taylor says Varvel did not intend to be racially insensitive, but he added that we erred in publishing it. But of course, material can never be truly eliminated once it is circulating on the web, so we decided to leave the cartoon posted on our websites to allow readers to comment. Then we took it down.
See, they should have drawn a little picture of Muhammad coming through the window. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. That would have gotten him killed. We can't do that.
Okay, I got two great stories, it's worth extending this break if we have to.
All right.
My nominee for the real Miss America. Her name is Vanessa Dobos. She is 19 years old. She is a gunner on a U.S. Air Force AC-130 gunship. She's seen action in Iraq and Afghanistan. She used to be a cheerleader. Now she is an Air Force Security Forces sniper. Her likes include long walks on the beach, men who aren't afraid to cry, and puppies. Her dislikes include feed tray stoppages, tracer flare-outs of her NVGs, and premature fixed-wing strikes scattering her high-value targets. She was watching a road in Pakistan that led to a NATO military base earlier this year when she observed a man digging by the road. She engaged the target. Translation for you liberals, she shot him. It turns out he was a bomb maker for the Taliban, and he was burying an IED which was going to be detonated when a U.S. patrol came by 30 minutes later. It certainly would have killed and wounded several soldiers. She did not want that to happen. Here's the interesting fact. Her shot was measured at 725 yards.
Wow.
This is longer than six football fields with the end zones included.
Right. That's impressive.
She shot him as he was bent over burying the bomb. The shot went through his behind into the bomb, which detonated. He was blown to pieces.
Wow.
The Air Force has since made a motivational poster of her.
So he literally got his butt blown up.
He did. Yeah. In fact, says here in this story, the last thing that came out of his mouth was his hind end.
It was,
Wow.
So way to go.
What's her name again?
Yes, let's get to it. Her name is Vanessa Dobos, and she's a nice-looking young lady.
Go, Vanessa!
She's not wearing any makeup, but she's got pretty eyes, and she looks like a real bombshell,
lady.
So to speak.
Yeah. Can't wait to see her in the talent portion of Miss America.
Oh, I tell you what, buddy.
And finally, I'm going to tag team on the back of some comments that Carl Jackson was making yesterday when he was talking about people thinking that they are not worthy of God's love. They're not worthy of being used by him. Carl, you talked a little about your past.
Sure.
I'm not going to talk about my past, even though Nostradamus predicts the past in this segment. But if you seriously
think... talk about my past, somebody might come and get me.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. And Johnny doesn't have a past. Johnny is a good boy.
He is.
Johnny's never been bad. But if you seriously think God can't use you, consider this. Noah was an alcoholic. Abraham was too old. Joseph was too young. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Mary Magdalene also may have been a prostitute, though it doesn't explain that in scriptures. David had an affair and was a murderer.
Right.
Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah, like Ben Franklin, liked to go out in public naked. In fact, Isaiah preached that way. Jonah ran away from God. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied our Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything, including the little things. The Samaritan woman was divorced. Zacchaeus was too short. Paul was too religious. Before that, he persecuted Christians. Finally, Lazarus was dead. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And that is Nostradamus predicts the past.
All right. Good stuff. Good stuff there. Okay. I tell you what, Jeff, why don't we go ahead and take the break now, then we'll take Warren's phone call after the break, because I think that might kind of lead us into Carl's Corner. So we'll do that, folks. We'll be right back after this short break. If you would like to be a part of the show, too, we welcome your call as well, 407-774-8255. Do be the number, and I hope you don't be going away.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to The American Adversaries, and I got to tell you, we have the best listeners in all of Central Florida. If you want to give us a call, feel free, 407-774-8255. And like I said, we have the best listeners all around, like our friend Warren. Warren, how you doing tonight?
Oh, any day above the sod is a good day.
Amen. Like that.
Amen. Go ahead, Warren. How you been?
Oh, well... Yeah, you guys are talking about the Republicans, and I'm kind of likening it to a chess game.
Yeah, Carl does that. Carl does that. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, they tend to announce their moves, and the Democrats will announce a move, but they're already thinking 2-3 moves ahead of that.
Yeah.
And like impeach me, go or implying impeach me. You know, I'm going to do these things, and they'd love it because he would just. Get stronger and stronger. But then I got to thinking that chess game might not be a good thing to use because I'm sure we'd have outrage if somebody said we were using the Ruy Lopez.
Accuse us of being anti-Hispanic or racist or something, huh? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but, you know, Carl talks about that, and you're right. I mean, just look at what's happened this past week. Barack Obama, it's been revealed now that they were planning this for 9 months. They've been working on this scheme, this plan for 9 months, and how not just what they would do, but when and how they would do it. And the Republicans, and I was the lone voice saying it wouldn't happen, and now I was wrong. I guess that was wishful thinking. But obviously, everybody else thought this was going to happen. So you would even if I was out there and I thought it wasn't going to happen, if I was in the Senate, I would have said, but let's be ready just in case the old fool does go and do it.
Let's have a strategy.
Be ready. And all that we have found out this week is that they aren't ready. They haven't been ready. They got no plan. They got no move. They're sitting there. They've been put in check. And they're trying to figure out now which pieces they're going to give up.
Right. Well, I was actually thinking... Nothing wrong with staying quiet for another month and then try and get enough votes to shove this Excel pipeline down the president's throat.
Wait, don't do anything. I wouldn't give the man anything except maybe a temporary, no more than a month or two, continuing resolution. That's all I would do. And say, Mr. President, we're just going to wait until the next year and we're going to deal with all this stuff then. And even then, I wouldn't reward his immigration policy, as I said.
Oh, I wouldn't even tell him that we're waiting until next year. We just...
Well, yeah, you're right.
Don't announce what you're going to do.
Yeah, well.
That's right. I mean, because that's the problem. And they've done this over and over. We've seen what happens when they hand the ring together. How are we going to get the Hispanic vote when they should be out there going door to door and talking to the people?
That's right. You're absolutely right. Like that congressman, I believe his name is Pearson, New Mexico, I think. Old white guy, bald, white hair, old, and yet he wins re-election to Congress every 2 years because he goes and does exactly what you're talking about. In a majority Democratic Hispanic district, this old white Republican keeps getting re-elected over and over and over again.
What's our problem? You have a problem with old, bald, white Republicans. I'm offended.
I'm outnumbered. Well, thank you, Warren. We appreciate you being
here. I've got one more thing here.
Okay.
I was thinking you guys were talking about all the peccadilloes of the biblical people. I wonder if that matches up to the members of the Congress.
Well, you still got to seek God to get his assistance, I think. So that's where they're left out in the cold. All right. Thank you, Warren.
Have a good one, guys.
Yeah, we appreciate you being out there. You do the same.
Now, here's a question. If you're playing chess, are you allowed to say, pass, make another move? I don't think you are.
Nope.
They do have to do something, but they don't have to announce a thing.
No, and you can sit there and take as long as you want. All right, it's time for Carl, and Carl, you take as long as you want.
All right, well, I would say don't react, refrain. That's a lesson that I learned from a friend of mine when I first started a love, if you will, or began my love for politics. Right off the bat, one of the first things he taught me is he taught me about Saul Alinsky when I had never heard of the man before. This was in the early 2000s, right after 9/11. And then he said, one of the most important things you can learn in the political industry is to not react, but refrain. Because the moment that you react, you automatically put yourself on the defense, and the other side has got you. And unfortunately, the Republican Party has always been pretty horrible at this. So here's what I would say to President Barack Obama. If I were an illegal non-citizen, and that's the way that I would frame it, to the illegal non-citizens. See, I'd rather be certain of what I don't have than uncertain of what I do have. And that's the situation that illegal non-citizens currently find themselves in. President Obama has put them in a state of limbo. He's relegated illegal non-citizens to a lifetime of government dependency and servitude with his latest intolerable act of executive amnesty. This racist act that appears to have been targeted at the Latino community presumes they want government over God, American welfare over the American dream, and lawlessness over the rule of law. And the Republicans should first and foremost shame the president morally for being such a racist pig. The next thing that I would do is I would wait until the voting season begins, and then I would just take a look at the poll, the people's poll. If we go to Rasmussen.com, you can find what Americans are interested in. And it just so happens, this was as of June 2014, but I can tell you the numbers have switched. But I'll read the issues that are most important to the people and in the order of which they are of importance to the people. Number one issue was the economy. The second issue was job creation. The third issue was health care. Can you say Obamacare? The fourth issue, government spending, education, social security, government ethics, and corruption. I would suggest the president shall not lie bill that I would place on the president's desk. And I would name things such as Obamacare, Benghazi, and such, and say that it's the president's job to be transparent. And I will put a bill on his desk that says the president from here forward promises to be transparent with big issues that affect our nation. The next issue is taxes, small business, gun control, XL energy, national security. Number 13 happens to be immigration. Number 14 happens to be environment. Number 15 happens to be the war in Afghanistan. However, that did flip in the last few weeks or even month before the election. I believe that went all the way up to number 2 or 3 as far as concerned. So some of this has flipped somewhat, but immigration never made it past number 10. So you know what I would do? Each bill I will put on the president's desk with my own solutions, and I would have a press conference before I even put them on the president's desk, and I would say, we're coming before you with the advice and consent of the people, Mr. President, and this is what the people want, and this is what they want in that order. And so I would place a bill on his desk for the economy to fix that, and I would make that a fight. I would turn it into the president and liberals against the people. And I would frame it in such a way in which it would be the president against the people. And I would do that issue after issue after issue after issue. And then I would finally get to immigration, number 13. And what I would do is put a bill on his desk that suggests, you know what, Mr. President, we already have, and I probably will have to carry this to the other side of the break, but we already have bills, we already have legislation, as a matter of fact, that all you have to do is enforce, and we can remind you of that legislation since it already is the rule of law, and we can make these changes to this, and we can alter this, but we won't alter this as a whole, but I will give you some of those solutions that are already the rule of law that we have to enforce, but it would be easy to flip this issue over on the president that would totally demolish his presidency and liberals.
More from Carl's Corner around the corner after we take a quick break. Stick around.
fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Feeling pretty good, folks. It's turned into a nice Sunday evening here in Central Florida, and especially if you're out there listening to the American adversaries. That be us. We want to thank you for being out there. I am Christopher Hart, along with Nostra Dennis, our executive producer.
Hi.
Johnny Guns, our WTF newsman.
Hola.
And otherwise announcer. And our colleague Carl Jackson are all live in the studio with you today. We're going to get right back to Carl here in just a minute. Jeff Sinis is on the bridge, and you can be a part of the show, too. Hey, Jeff. At 407-774-8255, just like Stan and Don and Warren tonight so far. And you can still call the show, even if your first name doesn't end with an N.
Yeah, definitely.
Interesting. But all three excellent calls, and we certainly would love to hear from you. Real quick, we mentioned, you know, that Mayor John Land passed away the other night, and or yesterday, I guess, and there will be a memorial service open to the public on Wednesday at the Chamber of Commerce building, which is right next to the City Hall down there. I understand they're going to have – I thought they were going to have a viewing at the City Hall, or at least have his body lying in state there for a couple hours on Wednesday. And then, but they are going to have a memorial service at the Chamber building. All that starts at 10 o'clock on Wednesday, if you would care to attend. There will be private service on Tuesday, so Wednesday will be your only opportunity to pay your respects to former Mayor John Land. All right, let's go back to Carl Jackson, who's still got a little of his corner to put together here.
All right, basically, Republicans need to comment this amnesty thing when they do get to it, if they do get to it. Honestly, if they don't get to it in the first 90 to 100 days of the upcoming next two-year process.
Session.
Yeah,
Congress.
Session, thank you, where the president, another person will be vying for the presidency, then you know what? No big deal. Let the new candidate take the lead on whatever issues he chooses, whatever issues excites the voters. And then let the voters participate.
Do you think they should wait for the current Congress and Senate to turn into the new one to act at all?
Yeah, honestly, the current, I wouldn't be working with Harry Reid right now. I'm sorry, they lost. So yeah, in a sense, I'd wait, and if anything, I would try to help the president, whoever becomes the next president, Republican, hopefully, set an agenda. Now, if that president chooses to back away from some, then so be it. But basically, listen, any president that says he cares about border security, first and foremost, has to be faithful in executing the laws that are already in place. And so you need to understand some of the laws that are already in place that makes our immigration system, though you may not be pleased with it, believe it or not, it's the best in the world. We let in 1 million illegal immigrants per year. I'm sorry, 1 million legal immigrants per year. And I would argue that that's a lot, and probably to our detriment when we have such high deficits and debt. But nevertheless, you have what you need to do is, or what's already on the books, is overriding and removing existing executive orders, agency memorandums, or other executive policy directives that ignore or contradict existing law. So this makes it possible for any president to come in and say, listen, this president wasn't following A, B, or C, or D. Let's get this right, or, you know, what have you. It's pretty simple. These are the things that they can already do that are on the books, where it really doesn't take much from Congress at all to enforce what goes on in the border. The federal government, the executive office, can do that. So the president is playing a shell game here, pretending like he can't. Also, allowing immigration agencies to enforce and apply the law without workplace interference. political pressure or procedural obstacles. This is important for the executive office. Also, building a border fence. I know a lot of people have suggested, listen, just let's just go with a sensor system and cameras. I'm sorry. Sensors and cameras are only as effective as the person operating them. And if those people happen to be friends with a corrupt politician, like, let's say, President Obama, the fence may not be guarded as we want. I personally, call me old school, block fences work. They work pretty good, to be quite honest.
We should take all our prisons, then, and just put sensors around them, because walls aren't really important.
Yeah, exactly. So I just think that's a joke. Even when I hear conservatives say that, I'm sorry. I'd like to see some structural fences built, and we can do all the technological things that we can as well, but we need some fences built. And then number five, I'm sorry, I'm going to skip over some. Increase enforcement against businesses that knowingly employ unlawful labor. Okay, we all know that. The next would be number six, engaging with international partners. I would work with Mexico, and I would follow their exact laws. Listen, we'll work with you. You guys don't let any cross. Go across. We got to go back and forth with this. Canada, the same thing. We got to work with those so that we stay within all of our within all of our best interests. And then make attaining citizenship a little easier. I agree with that. You know, it shouldn't take 5, 6, 7, 10 years to become a legal immigrant. In my opinion, if you come here and you do things the right way and you are a productive citizen, you've got your green card and all that kind of stuff, fine. Let's get some accurate reporting in the census data, which doesn't exist. And let's abolish no sanctuary cities. And I would present what already exists to the president and say, Mr. President, the people don't have confidence in you. Your poll numbers are dropping. And I would make this a public speech. And I say, you lied about Benghazi. You lied about Obamacare. You lied about Fast and Furious. So we need a vote of confidence, Mr. President, before we are even able feel like we can trust working with you and the people trust working with you on any piece of legislation. We need to make sure that you're not going to mislead us again. Boom. Put it in his face. Put that man on the defense and let him deal with it.
All right. Well, that's where I was going to start. And this goes back to what Warren was saying, too. First of all, this president does not want to make a deal with anybody. He either wants it done his way or he doesn't want it done at all. And he would just as soon probably not even have that kind of a deal when it comes to dealing with the Republicans. But that aside, the Republicans shouldn't want to make a deal with this guy. I mean, what you just said was he is not, and what this whole action that he just took is not to enforce the laws that already exist on the books. So why in the world would anybody think that he's going to enforce new laws?
And you know
he's not going to sign it unless it's a deal that he likes. And if that's the case, then Republicans may as well just pack their bags and go home because they're no better than being Democrats. So if they're not willing to give him a deal that he wants, don't waste your time with it. Period. Because he's not going to sign it into law. So, oh yeah, now you're going to get him, you're going to pin him to the, you know, you're going to make him veto it. Yeah, boy, that's really going to do something. No, it's not going to do anything. He's just going to sit there and pillory you and vilify you no matter what. So just don't even go there with him on this issue. If you want to try to make something, a deal with him, do it on the budget. That's what has to be done. All of this other stuff could be done. The budget has to be done. Start there. And if that is a hard and rough process and it causes a lot of consternation and hard feelings, then let it end there too. And begin to make your argument. Carl, what you say, it makes so much perfect sense. What Republican do you think is capable of doing that beyond Ted Cruz?
Yeah, honestly, none.
And as soon as he does it, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
They're going to vilify him.
They'll vilify him.
You have
him.
To have the whole team come out as a team and say that repeatedly. And Mitch McConnell ain't. Let me tell you something. Mitch McConnell is probably working with the president. I wouldn't put it past these scoundrels.
I wouldn't pass him, too, but let me say this. My plan wouldn't be to try to. Listen. I don't live in La La Land. The goal for me wouldn't be for the president to sign anything. He's not going to sign anything. My goal would be for legislators to legislate, thereby setting the agenda. All I want, I'll be honest with you, if you guys are expecting a lot to happen in the next couple of years, I'm just going to be straight with you. You're living in a bit of a pipe dream. The only thing that's going to happen are more executive orders. The president is not going to work with anyone. However, the legislative body has the power to set the agenda, and you can do that by putting bills on his desk and going to the people. So am I naive enough to believe that, you know, President won? No, absolutely not. But I do know that the legislature can set the agenda and make this man look like a fool pretty easily.
Here's the question, Carl. You're talking about people's polls to try to figure out which things are most important.
Sure, absolutely.
Are we going to include all the people who choose not to answer the poll? Because if we include those, shouldn't we listen to what they're not saying as well as what everyone else is saying?
Whenever the president argues against the Republicans, I would say, Mr. President, those the same two-thirds of people that didn't vote that you were listening to, that's who we're listening to now, and we're going to stick with this issue.
Yeah, well, in terms of Congress getting much done in this next session, not getting much done, I should say, we can only hope so.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And because let me tell you something. The Democrats aren't going to go away. They're not going to just roll over. They're going to play hardball. If I know Harry Reid, he's going to play hardball. And he's going to make the Republicans trying to get those extra six votes that they're going to need on everything except a budget very difficult to get. So why put yourself through the humiliating experience of having to kiss Harry Reid's butt or to kiss the butts of six Democrats? No. If you want to do something, do what Carl is saying, but understand that it's probably even never going to make it to Barack Obama's desk, because it probably wouldn't even make it out of the Senate if the Republicans would stand true to what they believe in. Now, the dirty little secret about this immigration thing is there are a lot of Republicans out there who would secretly probably love to have that Senate bill go through. And were it not for some staunch conservatives in the House, it probably already would have gone through. Because there are a lot of big money interests, including a lot of big money farms, who want this to go through. But it would not be good for the country. And that's why we're adamantly against it going through, at least I am, and why I'm so adamantly against working with this president on this issue in particular and a whole lot of other ones as well, because all you're going to do is get burned in the process.
Okay, don't get burned. Stay cool. Keep listening. It's the American Adversaries 3-hour tour. We're almost halfway done. We'll be back with more right after this.
Okay, we're back, folks. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer. And Nostra Dennis had an excellent point he wanted to make about the president and this executive order thing.
Yeah, I think the one thing we're really not taking into account in this staring match that's going on is that there is scriptural precedent for the president to ignore laws that he doesn't think are good and for it to say one thing and do entirely the opposite.
Oh?
Yeah, that the scripture, I'm not sure the numbers, but the phrase is called takia, which means it is okay to lie to the infidel if it furthers the cause of Allah.
Well, certainly this president lives by that code, that motto.
Seems like it.
He sure does, that's for sure. By the way, folks, in the next segment of the show, don't forget we'll be doing our Who Said That contest tonight. And you'll be able to win a chance to go to Cafe Positano with $20 in your pocket. $20 gift card, that is, anyway. Yeah, let me just kind of transition out of this because, first of all, when I say don't deal with the president, now that doesn't mean there should not be lawsuits filed. There already been, I think, of course, Sheriff Joe Arpaio has filed a lawsuit. I believe the governor I'm just not sure what state, but there's a governor out there who says he's going to file a lawsuit.
Sheriffs, governors, even just regular citizens.
I mean, unions should file lawsuits. Whoever is negatively affected by this. And then first and foremost should be Congress should file lawsuits. And that is reason enough alone to file a lawsuit, see if the president has gone too far. Because basically what the president is arguing is that the reason he had to do this was because he has a limited amount of resources. And he has all this list of things, like Carl was just talking about, that he has to do with that limited amount of resources. So all he's doing is shifting resources to take care of priorities which he thinks are more important. And he lists those. The most recent illegal immigrants, those who came here since the first of this year, criminals and gang members. Now, that would be the argument that he would take before the Supreme Court. Of course, the counter argument is that, no, he has to more or less divvy up the resources so that he's doing all of the things that the law requires, not just some of them, and use that as an excuse not to do others. And it will be up to the courts to decide that. And I think that that's a significant enough constitutional question that you should not muck it up by trying to make what the president did a moot point. And the way you do that is you pass a bill. So don't pass a bill. Don't even attempt to. Just say, look, we think this is a significant constitutional question. This is why we have a constitutional form of government and why we have a judiciary. We shall let them solve it. And when that happens, then we'll deal with, perhaps then we'll be thinking about dealing with the president. And of course, you know, that's not going to happen anytime soon. And it is something that should be decided by the Supreme Court, I feel. And maybe the Republicans are afraid of that. Maybe they're afraid the Supreme Court might decide what he did was legal. And maybe it is. But I don't think so. But, you know, there are greater legal minds than mine out there, that's for sure. I don't think that it's legal, but let's, you know, let it play out in the courts. But, and by the way, folks, the moneyed interests kind of got what they wanted. All right? They got this vast new pool of legal labor now. Cheap. Although these people are going to want, and one of the first things they're going to push for is a raise in the minimum wage, right? And why not just let it ride? All right. Because there are other big fights that they could probably get better traction engaging in. And one of them has to do with Lois Lerner. Lois Lerner, of course, is the nominee by the president to replace Eric Withholder.
Wait, you're confusing your LLs.
Yeah, Loretta Lynch.
Oh, Loretta Lynch. What did
Lois
I say?
Lois Lerner's leaving.
Oh, yeah. By the way, they did find all those emails.
Yes. Yeah. There's 30,000 new reasons to have a fair tax or a flat tax.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's list Loretta Lynch instead of Lois Lerner.
All right.
Lair's not here.
Had a brain lock there for a second. But
Loretta Lynch.
Loretta Lynch is the nominee to replace Eric Withholder. And she is someone who the Republicans should probably give a good grilling, a good going over, if not rejecting her. And it's not because necessarily that she's done anything corrupt, because she has basically simply been doing what has become sort of standard practice, but which is, I believe, unconstitutional, clearly unconstitutional. What it involves is it's a practice of what's called forfeiture calls. Forfeiture calls are when a prosecutor, a federal prosecutor, can call for the forfeiture of a person and or people's and or organization's assets because they think that perhaps they're up to no good. Unfortunately, they can do this without having to charge the person with a crime. So in essence, what they are doing is they are penalizing the person before and sometimes without ever even having indicted them.
So they're being treated as if they're guilty without any trial, without the presumption of innocence.
It's kind of the IRS standard applied exactly to the court system. Now, we can thank Prohibition for this. This was a practice that was started to try to, you know, go after drug dealers because, you know, the thinking being, obviously, if this guy's a big drug dealer and he's got hundreds of millions of dollars, obviously he got that hundreds of millions of dollars dealing drugs, it's illegal activity, so we're going to take his ill-gotten gain away from him, which all sounds very reasonable and a good thing, you know, in the war against drugs, if you're for the war against drugs. But this is one of the reasons why I'm not for it, because that forfeiture practice is basically against the due process. It's not basically, it is against the due process clause in the Constitution. Now, dealing with drug kingpins, it was a bit easier to go ahead and get that indictment and take them to trial and get convictions. However, the practice of forfeiture calls has now gone way beyond the war on drugs, folks. This is one of the reasons why I say prohibition is poison. Because it never stays, the government actions to deal with it never are always confined to just that. They figure, oh, wow, look, we can take people's property away from them. Why don't we do it for all kinds of crimes?
Isn't that what they were trying to do to Clive and Bundy in Nevada?
But, yeah. But it's also what they're trying now to do to... what's the guy's name? Wynn, the big casino.
Steve Wynn.
Steve Wynn.
Sure.
Steve Wynn. Okay, he is now facing one of these, they call it a money laundering probe. And his casino is being forced to offer up a bunch of information on the people who come to the casinos to gamble in order to prevent money laundering. Now, let me just read you a little bit of what Ms. Shasky, now this Ms. Shasky is a government official, who is overseeing this investigation of Wynn's casinos. She says in a speech, she laid out a series of red flags for the industry. In other words, this is kind of what the government looks for. She said casinos needed to look at the source of suspicious customer cash. This is source. They need to look at where their customers are getting their money.
So when you bring the suitcase in for chips, you got to have a legal document that tells the cashier where you got it.
No, you don't have to have anything. The casino has to find out about you.
Sure.
All right. So when we continue, when we come back, we'll continue this conversation, and hopefully there'll be a Republican or two or somewhere out there who just might take this up, you know, with this person, Loretta Lynch, when she goes through the confirmation process.
Curiouser and curiouser. Are you curious? Stick with us. We're the American Adversaries. It's Sunday night. We're halfway through that three-hour tour. Who are you calling us bad men? My goodness. Get a reputation around here. Nostra Dennis on a Sunday night with the American Adversaries. That includes the not-in-the-studio Lair Adams, but it also includes the not-in-the-studio Carl Jackson.
Temporarily.
And includes the not-in-the-studio but behind the board Jeff Sennis. And Johnny Guns and Christopher Hart. And Christopher Hart is up next because it is time for Cafe Positano presents the Who Said That contest.
That's right, folks. That's right. It's time for the Who Said That contest, sponsored, as Nostra Dennis said, by Cafe Positano, the finest Italian restaurant in all Central Florida. And thank you, folks, for all the compliments that we get about them. Believe you me, we know. It's good food.
Oh, I had last week the salmon with the mango sauce.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness. I'm not a fish eater. It's great.
Yeah.
I've had the prime rib. It's great. For an Italian restaurant to have great fish and great meat, unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I hope you were there last night, folks. They had a live band, a four-piece band there, so it was a lot of fun. You will win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano. And by the way, you know, with the holidays coming up and New Year's Eve, they always have a great New Year's Eve celebration there. Make your reservations now, 407-774-8080. And remember, they can accommodate parties and banquets, so 407-774-8080 is their phone number over there. You'll win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, along with a My Liberty Threads t-shirt, American Made, America Proud, MyLibertyThreads.com. And they are great shirts, very comfortable wearing also. Okay, so all you know the rules. It's real simple. If you've won something here in the last 3 or 4 months, let's let somebody else try to get in on the goodies at least first here. And all you have to do, folks, is tell us who said this quote, and you'll win them their prizes. Call us at 407-774-8255. Who said, "The most perfect political community is one in which the middle class is in control and outnumbers both the other classes"? I'll say it again. The most perfect political community is one in which the middle class is in control and outnumbers both the other classes. If you know who said that, give us a call. I will tell you this. It was not one of our presidents. As a matter of fact, it was not anyone involved in any way directly with American politics.
Right. Here's a question that has to do with this without giving it away. Has that ever happened anywhere in any economy? that the middle class actually controls the economy?
Ours is probably the closest to it, in the sense that for the most part of our history, it was the middle class who provided the majority of the voters. That's what the liberals have been trying to change. They are trying to take the people out of the middle class, put them in the lower class, and keep themselves in the upper class. Right?
Sure feels like it.
That's right. And if you just do a little bit of math, you can take the 47% that Romney was talking about and the 1% that the libs talk about. You got 48%. So we're perilously close to losing control. Yep. I don't think we have yet, though. But certainly the politicians are taking us down that road. One more time. Who said, the most perfect political community is one in which the middle class is in control and outnumbers both the other classes? And you might want to take a little hint from Nostradamus' question, okay?
Hmm.
And the fact that this was not said by anyone who was directly involved in American politics. All right. I want to go back to talking about Loretta Lynch, because Loretta Lynch is a very big advocate of these forfeiture calls. Now, I was talking about Steve Wynn, and I got a message from one of our listeners during the break, and he's absolutely right about this. During the last presidential election, Steve Wynn was a big contributor. He wasn't the biggest one in Las Vegas. Sheldon Adelson was, but Wynn was still a big contributor to the GOP, and he was much more vocal than Adelson about his criticisms of Barack Obama. He was very critical of Barack Obama, and I believe he actually voted or supported Barack Obama
the first time around. Yeah. He did, yes.
Yeah, but his casinos are now coming under this particular scrutiny. Let me again start off with Ms. Shasky, the person in charge of her name is Jennifer Shasky Calvary. She's the director of the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, or FinCEN. And Ms. Shasky Calvary said in a speech that she said casinos need to look at the source of suspicious customer cash and watch out for patrons who move money into the United States through third parties, move cash through casino accounts but don't gamble much, use cash in casino accounts to buy assets like real estate, leave cash at casinos for long periods, and exit casinos with large amounts of chips. And not the counterfeit ones like you heard in the news break there, real ones.
Now, so casinos have to have people stationed at the airport and at the bank and at people's homes.
Yeah, what this is basically what you let me back up a minute. Casinos operate to a great extent kind of like banks do. If you're a big-time gambler, you can basically set up an account at the casino. Sometimes they'll issue you credit, but basically you work money through the account to pay off your debts or even put a bunch of money in there that you're going to gamble with. And, of course, you put a bunch of money in a casino account, you're going to get treated royally, right?
Sure, free everything.
I believe they call them whales. And the biggest whales, a couple of years ago at least anyway, was this guy from China. This like guy was 5 feet tall, and he would come to Las Vegas and bet millions of dollars at a time. And of course, he had this big. They would put him up rent free in the penthouse suite.
Yeah, penthouse, and tigers on a gold leash, all that stuff.
And he had as many maids as he wanted.
Well, the room gets dirty. It needs to be tidied up.
Change the sheets all the time, right?
Yeah.
You do need to change the sheets.
He got all the booze and all the food he wanted, but he bets millions of dollars. And, of course, he loses a lot of it. Well, these are the kind of people that government wants the casino to be looking out for. And I don't know if this guy was, moving money in and out in this sort of suspicious fashion that the government's talking about. But even if the casino does witness this happening, you would think that, okay, you call up the FBI or whatever, and you say, hey, Joe Blow is, he's moving $1 million into the account. He bets $1,000 and then he goes home with the rest of it. Something's going on here. No, that's not what happens. Here's what happens. Under money laundering laws, Ms. Shasky said, the onus is on casinos to figure out, among other things, how their customers made their money if their activity is suspicious. And guess what? If it turns out that it was and the casino didn't determine that, the casino has now committed a crime.
Do they explain how the casino is supposed to make this determination?
Nope.
Well, that's up to them.
Nope.
They got to figure it out.
And by the way, this is Wynn's not the first. Other casino operators have been subject to recent probes as well. Las Vegas Sands and the Caesars Entertainment. And I believe Las Vegas Sands, I may be mistaken, so don't take this for fact until we maybe check it, but I believe Las Vegas Sands was one of Sheldon Adelson's casinos. Here, I read on. In a first-of-its-kind case, Las Vegas Sands agreed in August 2013 to accept the Justice Department's assertion that the company had failed to report potentially improper financial activity by one of its customers. It paid more than $47 million as part of a, get this, non-prosecution agreement that ended the investigation. In other words, they were never indicted, never charged, but paid the $47 million so that they wouldn't be.
We didn't do anything wrong, but here's a stack of money.
Now, I don't know, but if I were to be arrested for something and offer a judge or the prosecutor $47 million to let me go, I'd probably be facing another charge called bribery. But when the government does it to you, it's not extortion, it's not bribery, it's all legal. Now, you may say, well, that's casinos, and they probably are dealing with a lot of the illegal money. Mm-hmm. Well, but the problem is it doesn't stop there. Most of these forfeiture calls are going out against people like you and me, people in the middle class who can't do anything about it.
What rationale are they using and what are they taking? People's homes?
Well, let me tell you about the Hirsch brothers. Jeffrey, Richard, and Mitch Hirsch, three brothers who live in Long Island. Your old neck of the woods there.
Oh, Jeffrey, Richard, Mitch.
Yeah, that's right.
How's Mitch doing?
Yeah, well, they're now without $446,651.11.
They owe me $20.
Which Loretta Lynch's prosecutor's office confiscated from them because they deemed that this was suspicious money. Why was it suspicious money? Because they were making small cash deposits on a regular basis to their bank. Why, might you ask, were they doing that? Well, they sell candy and other things to stores and vending machines.
And they take the coins out of the machines.
And they take the small amounts of cash and they deposit it down to the bank.
Goodness.
Okay? And it's quite obvious that they have not been charged. They have not even been accused of a crime, and yet their $446,651.11 still is not theirs.
So their vending machines are money laundering items, right?
I suppose so.
Sure.
These big-time drug dealers are coming in with their pockets full of quarters, buying Mars bars to launder all them billions that they're making, right?
Give me some chips, man.
Yeah. All right. When we come back, we'll have a guest for our Who Said That contest. You, too, can be a part of it, 407-774-8255. And even if you don't win the contest, you can still call us and be a part of the show. So please don't go away. And we're back. That's right, folks. And we'll be here until 8 o'clock, at which time John Butler Book is going to come in. He'll be live right here in this studio until 9 o'clock on WTLN 950. And then, of course, Armed American Radio is live on AM 660, The Answer, from 8 to 11. And we got a couple of guests on the line. If you want to get in on the contest, 407-774-8255 is the number. We're looking for the author of this quote right here. The most perfect political community is one in which the middle class is in control and outnumbers both the other classes. So we'll get to those phone calls in just a second, but I kind of want to finish up a little bit with this Loretta Lynch thing. Because, by the way, folks, she is a major... Her office up there in New York is considered a major forfeiture operation. She's brought in more than $113 million in civil actions between actions from 123 cases between 2011 and 2013.
Yeah, she's based in Brooklyn, but it covers a lot of Brooklyn, Queens, all the airports. It's all part of her jurisdiction.
Right. Unbelievable. I thought you were going to say in the stint of her career.
Yeah. No, that's in 2 short years.
She's been basically a rainmaker for the DA's office.
The Obama administration, this wasn't new to the Obama administration. Like I say, folks, this practice started because of the drug war, but it has just ballooned. It has snowballed under this administration, and prosecutors all across the country have been doing this. She is just one of many, one of the best at it, which is why this fight should be taken up in the Senate. Put that immigration stuff on the back burner. This is a real problem that needs to be dealt with. Let me just read a little bit from a Wall Street Journal op-ed piece from this weekend's newspaper. It says, prosecutors have taken a yen to civil forfeiture laws, which they've used to shore up state and municipal budgets. Now, I didn't know that going after criminal activity should be a way to, you know, enhance the budgets of the state coffers. That's not what it's supposed to be for, but that's what it has become. And by the way, the police agencies rely on this stuff, too. They rely much more on the drug stuff, but they rely very, very heavily on taking property from people to finance their police actions and their equipment.
And one forfeiture judgment like that, well, it's not even a judgment because the courts aren't involved. It's a lot easier than a whole bunch of red light camera fines.
Better believe it. Let me just read on. Which they've used to shore up state and municipal budgets with sums from confiscated private property. One happy joiner is Attorney General nominee Loretta Lynch, whose U.S. Attorney's Office for the Eastern District of New York has been an enthusiastic grabber of private assets. Prosecutors love the practice because it allows them to seize cash and property before the target is charged with a crime. Now, once again, this was to go after the drug dealers, you see. If we're going to have a war on drugs, we have to be able to fight it effectively. So you can't be going and charging a drug dealer and have him spend the money he made on dealing drugs to get himself a good attorney. That's what this is all about. That's what was happening. And guys like F. Lee Bailey made a lot of money off drug dealers. Matter of fact, I believe F. Lee Bailey pretty much lost his law license because he took a bunch of money from a drug dealer that the government later on wanted, and he had already spent it. Intended to be used against drug dealers and their ill-gotten gains, the law has become an all-purpose cash machine for police departments and prosecutors who, get this, who often make forfeiture calls based not on the suspected crime or the perpetrator, but on the desirability of the available goods to be seized. In other words, if you got a lot of money, they want it. And it doesn't matter if you committed the crime to get it. If they can just simply say that you're using it in some suspicious fashion, they can take it away from you.
Okay, guys, I don't know about you, but whether it's Eric Holder or Loretta Lynch, I don't want the Attorney General grabbing my assets, even if my assets are highly desirable.
Let me just read one more paragraph, and then we'll go to the phone lines. For Jeffrey, Richard, and Mitch Hirsch, three brothers in Long Island, the law allowed the federal government to drain their bank account while never charging them with a crime. In May 2012, the feds confiscated $446,000 in change from the account the brothers used for deposits from their 27-year-old bi-county distributors, which stocks convenience stores in the region with candy and snack food. And, of course, this was the money they used to pay their employees, mm-hmm. to pay their vendors to carry on their business.
And to buy new chips to put in the machine.
Now, they have been able to stay in business, and they are suing the government to try to get the money back. But by the time they get the money back, all the lawyers are going to get it all. This is ridiculous. It violates due process clause of the Constitution. But we have turned a blind eye to this because before it was being used against people that, well, we thought it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those days are gone, and now they're using the law against anybody they damn well please. Thank God I ain't got much.
Yeah, what can they take from us, right?
Nothing from nothing is nothing, you know, the old Billy Preston. I mean,
Amen.
After this show, I mean, I'm barely wearing a shirt on my back.
Yeah.
Let's go to Leo from Orlando on line one. He thinks he knows who said the most perfect political community is one in which the middle class is in control and outnumbers both the other classes. Leo, thank you for calling.
Hey, how you doing, fellas? I know it wasn't Obama. I know it wasn't Harry Reid.
No, they're trying to destroy the
Eric Holder, no. Yeah. You know, my first guess was going to be Alexis de Tocqueville.
That would have been a good one.
He's always good for a quote.
That would have been a good one, but you said that would have been your first guess.
Aristotle
was. Yeah. That's right.
That goes way back.
Yeah.
You know, fellas, I wanted to, you know, while you're on this topic of forfeiture.
Yes.
I've been reading Frederick Bastiat. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
I believe I've heard that name anyway.
I have not.
Frederic Bastiat was a French philosopher economist who lived from 1801, I believe, to the middle of the 19th century, to 1850.
Okay.
And one of his quotes was this, if you guys have a minute.
Go ahead.
When plunder becomes a way of life for a group of men together in society, they create for themselves in the course of time a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. And that's exactly what I think this government has been doing. And what comes to mind is the deal with the Gibson Guitar Company.
Yes, that's another one. Yeah.
And yeah. I'm real close to on that because one of my best friends is a guitarist, and he was keeping me abreast of what was going on there at Gibson Guitar Company.
Yeah, well,
and,
I got
just wore him down until he finally just gave up and said, sure, I'll give you $1 million if you just leave me alone.
Just leave me alone. They raided his shop twice and took a bunch of precious lumber away from him, which he had bought legally. Which
right,
he had followed the rules.
And they never charged them.
No.
Never charged them.
No. And by the way, Frederick, is it Bastiat, you said?
Bastiat.
Yeah.
B-A-S-T-I-A-T.
Yeah, Bastiat, yeah. No, I had not heard of him, but I will look him up. Obviously, you have a great grasp of the history of philosophy because you got Aristotle and now this. But that is a perfect characterization of what has happened in this country.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Exactly. And we need to turn it back. But that is a perfect characterization.
He was one of the first, I don't know if he was the first, but he really did identify and define the velocity of money.
Yeah.
As to how a government takes a dollar from the general population and it basically goes stagnant, whereas if it's allowed to remain in a free, laissez-faire economy, the velocity of money will allow it to perpetuate.
Right.
And continue to grow.
Wait, so Leo, you're saying Nancy Pelosi is wrong? Wow.
Indeed she is.
So is Elizabeth Warren, you know. I got to tell you, I don't know where these people get their news or their information from.
Well, I know where they pull it from, but I can't say it on the air.
The same place that 19-year-old girl was aiming at in Afghanistan.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right. You're right on point, and I appreciate you being out there and being a part of our listening audience, Leo. So congratulations. You will get
Thank
a shirt. Make sure we got your shirt size and everything. Okay, Jeff says he got your information, but
great. You guys keep it up, man. Just keep it going.
All right, we'll try to do. We'll definitely do that, and hopefully maybe we'll run into you over at Cafe Positano. But thank you so much.
You got it. Yeah, I've been there. Love it.
Okay, great.
Thank
glad
you.
To hear that. Glad to hear.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. By the way, I got a Gibson guitar myself, an ES-335, 1964. Sweet. You know, it's one of those hollow body electrics.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering if I was going to have to dig a hole in the backyard and bury it.
But it's
got all this wood in it. Now it's supposed to be illegal.
You may now that you announced it.
I tell you, it sure makes a sweet sound, though. All right. Thank you, Leo. We appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Guys, you've got to hear this. I just got a text from my wife. She's asking for permission to grab my assets. You know what? She grabs them every day, and I let her.
I was going to say, I've seen your wife. I let her grab your assets, too.
Oh, my goodness. We know what's going on at the Nostradamus household later tonight.
Yes, sir.
All right. Doggy. EMI.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Where do we go from there? Okay.
To break.
Yes.
And then quickly, our California glow girl from Arizona.
We got to get the shag out of here, man.
Talk about grabbing assets. Sunny's coming up.
All right. That's right. We got 2 hours in, 1 hour to go, and a lot more live radio to go. I tell you what, folks, you don't get any better radio on Sunday night anywhere in the country than you do right here in Central Florida on AM 660 The Answer, 1520 WBZW, and 950 WTLN.
We are the American Adversaries. Two-thirds of the show is exactly done. One-third exactly left to go. Coming up in the next hour, we got some WTF news with Johnny Guns. We got Lair's closing remarks. We got some Roxy Pacifics to give away. And we've also got Sunny, our California glow girl in Arizona. So stick around.
We're not giving her away, though.
Ew.
No.
AM 660.
Fell into darkness. A call rang out across the land. Lair Adams. Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
It's the third hour of the American Adversaries, the classic Sunday night edition. Our three-hour tour, Nostra Dennis in studio with Christopher Hart, Carl Jackson, Johnny Guns, and Jeff Sennis behind the glass. Lair Adams enjoying a well-deserved day off today. Well, we were talking before the break about our assets, and let me seize this opportunity to show off one of our best assets here in the American Adversaries, and that is Sunny, our California glow girl from Arizona. Good evening, Sunny.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Doing good. How about you tonight?
I am doing fantastic.
You got you some new wheels.
I do, and it's really cool.
What?
Really, really cool. I can't be more happier now that I have a safe, type of
you got an SUV, didn't you?
I sure did.
Well,
and it fits the process.
How could you do that?
It's called Journey, and I love it.
it's a beautiful car, and you're not alone. And people are buying trucks and SUVs left and right, especially with the price of gas as low as it is.
Isn't it great?
I mean,
here it's like $257.
Yeah, in Albuquerque, I heard it was in the 240s.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Crazy good.
Uh-huh,
crazy
absolutely.
Good. Thanks to all those guys and gals out there drilling for the stuff and the Bakken Shale and...
And now that you're
Dakotas.
Not in California, you don't have to pay all those extra fees every California driver has to pay for all the purifications and modifications of their gasoline.
Well, yeah, I guess not, you know. But I do know Arizona laws are a bit, you know, ridiculous, too, so I've learned. They're pretty fussy about a lot of things here.
Pretty fussy, huh?
Oh, yeah. Worse than Cali, I'll tell you that.
Wow.
Well, put it this way. You just want to have one little small drink here. You don't want to go to two drinks. Ugly thing from what I heard in that dealership when I was talking to one of the salesmen. I was like, no way. No way.
Yeah, they're pretty very stringent on their DUI laws there.
Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, like $15,000 perhaps in a fine for just two beers. Mm. That's what he went through. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, plus jail time, of course.
I like beer, but not that much.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's one thing, you know, if they're out there legitimately enforcing laws and stuff like that. It's another thing, though, when they go out and basically soak people for a bunch of money.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a fine line, I suppose, but I think in a lot of cases, we were talking about this in the prior hour, I think in a lot of cases, our federal government has overstepped that line, and perhaps some state governments as well. But anyway, we certainly hope you enjoy your new SUV.
My wonderful Dodge Crossover. Well,
yes,
Journey
sir.
Crossover.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And I'm like, Crossover, okay. So they're like, well, yeah, that's an SUV slash like a van, because
cool.
It's long enough. So now I get that. I'm like, oh, okay, that's what it means. All
is
right.
that... Is that the same crossover when you sign the paperwork to you automatically transfer from the Democrat to the Republican Party?
You got a crossover?
No,
yeah, different.
Well, I'm staying right in the middle there. How's that?
Well, we're working on you. All right. Now, we talked briefly last week about the immigration thing, and in response to a question from Lair, you said you were totally frustrated with it. You just wish the illegal immigration would stop. And I think that's what you said.
I sure did.
And then now, of course, the president had this this action that he took this past week, which beside what he did for the people who are already in the country, there's a lot of people out there who think, well, now, you know, basically he's opened the door to a lot more people to come into this country. What do you think about what he did?
Yeah, well, I don't have any words. I think a lot of people are just, they want Obama gone already, just put it that way.
Well,
they
I know.
They want to bomb him.
Well,
Obama bomb. bummed. Bye.
Yeah. Well, metaphorically speaking, of course.
Yes, though, not actually.
Of course. Yeah, to you out there in the NSA who may be listening.
That's just a little sunny funny, guys.
Yeah, we know.
You know, Sonny, having said what you just did as far as the people and that you know that just want Obama gone, do you feel like it's an effective strategy for the Republican to just kind of ignore him and move on, if you will? Because I do believe the guy is a feckless president. The Republicans are giving him too much power. I would even concede that the Democrats are giving him too much party to the demise of their own party. Do you feel it's just time to move on?
Yeah, way too much. Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's going to be interesting who's going to be running next, and I'm not even going to go there because I already know how you guys feel.
Being
a female, that is.
Well, there'll be plenty of people on both sides, I think, that'll come up from the women's side.
Just to clarify, we don't have any problem with a woman being elected president.
Or a black man.
I would love to see it, you know.
It's not Hillary, huh?
Well, exactly, yes. Do you get to the bottom line? Yes.
Susana Martinez, governor of your neighboring state, New Mexico.
Yeah, I believe that there are a lot of women who are very qualified.
Nikki Haley?
Yeah, a woman who has passed away long ago, but she would have been made a great president, was Jean Kirkpatrick.
Mm-hmm. Condi Rice?
The first woman, UN's secretary representative from the United States, Jean Kirkpatrick, was in the Reagan administration.
There's plenty out there.
Yeah, and of course, Margaret Thatcher. I mean, there are women who are capable. It's just you got to get the right one. And
plus we're talking aged women, and again, that's like, you know, I think we got to stick with it. Someone that's got a little bit more to her step there.
Patricia Summerlin.
Very, very tactfully put there.
I do have interesting world statistics.
Well, hold on. Before we get to that, you raise an excellent point, and that is, and in conjunction with what Carl was saying, is that after the first of the year, it's not going to be very long before presidential politics for 2016 begins to dominate the atmosphere in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And there will be a lot of speculation. As a matter of fact, Jim Webb is the first one. He's the former senator, Democrat from Tennessee. Has announced that, I believe it was Tennessee, wasn't it? Maybe it was Virginia.
I think Virginia.
Virginia, yeah. He resigned, and he has announced that he's put together an exploratory committee. He would actually, I think, make a very formidable Democrat candidate. He's a Democrat of the John Kennedy-style Democrat. Strong defense, strong economy is what he's all about. Mm-hmm. And I think that the Republicans, as Carl was saying, should take that opportunity to move away from dealing with this president. This guy is demonstrated that he's either incompetent or unwilling to deal with anybody, and so just let him hang out by himself for a while. Let him play golf some more. You got it.
You know, who knows? Maybe one of our fellow wrestlers will step up to the punch. I mean, after all, we got Jesse Ventura as a fine, you know, you never know. Seriously.
After Chris Kyle, I think he's done.
Yeah, that's controversy.
That's true, but might surprise us.
Hey, I tell you what, Brian Blair would make a
there
great candidate.
That's right. Or even
Mankind.
Carl.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
He could, you know. You never know what's going to take place there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
We'll see. It'll be interesting. Yeah. But like I said, it could be Japanese. And we're going to get a full, I think, step up in that. You're going to see of all races in this, plus a woman. So I think this one's going to be interesting the next election.
No doubt about that. All right, we just got a few minutes left here. You got some other stuff for us.
I'm going to read off some fun facts, interesting world stats, and this is, very interesting that I was surprised about. And I'll, you know, you can participate, you guys, and answer the questions or have the radio listeners call in on this. But here's one for you. The world's hottest place.
Where is the world's hottest place?
Yep.
Death Valley?
Death Valley, I thought.
Okay, that's very true. That was probably real easy.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's too easy. How about the world's coldest place?
Arctic Circle.
Yes. East Antarctica Plateau. That is correct.
The East Antarctica.
Okay. Antarctica. Then I'm as wrong as you can be.
Yeah, he was on the
whole other end
of the planet. Yeah, but.
Yeah, the east side, which as of 2010, it's 135.8 degrees.
Yeah, stay away from the east side.
Yeah.
How do you know which is the east side, though?
Yeah, they're on the south side, aren't they?
It's all kind of, you know, flat there, it looks, in this picture. How about the world's most populated city?
Most populated city. Mexico City?
Shanghai.
You are good.
Yeah.
Shanghai
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Shanghai.
You
know, they're all over here. What are you talking about?
Yeah. How stupid of me, really.
Shame on you, Chris.
I should have said Tucson, maybe.
You didn't specify if that was
legal or illegal.
Oh, jeez.
How about this one, which I was a little shocked, but not so much. But the world's least populated city.
The world's least populated city?
Yes.
Fargo, North Dakota.
That's a good one. But no, actually, it's the Vatican City, guys.
Oh,
of course.
With a paltry population of 842.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe?
Nostradamus, how could you
I
not get
I should have
one?
Gotten that. Domini Vobisco.
Yes.
I know. And then here's another one, the world's wealthiest city.
The world's wealthiest, Washington, D.C.
Nope.
It's in Dubai or Abu Dhabi.
No, wait a minute. What is that city that Stanford is in? Palo Alto.
You guys, no Roxy Pacific for none of you.
Oh, no.
Where? Tokyo.
Tokyo?
Really? Tokyo, really?
Oh, really?
Yes, the tower might as well be made of gold since Tokyo tops the charts with a GDP of blah, 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 one. I guess it would be $5.20 billion, only beating New York by a mere $310 billion.
Wow, and they're in a recession.
$310
million,
yeah.
Yep.
They are?
Wow, it must be expensive to live in Tokyo.
Mm. Now, this you won't get either, I'm sure, because I had no clue on this one. I can't even pronounce it right. But the world's poorest city.
The world's poorest city, New Delhi.
Calcutta.
Kinshasa.
Who said Kinshasa?
That would be me.
You are brilliant.
Oh, Johnny, go.
Oh,
better Google is.
Just call me Johnny Google.
That's pretty good.
Hey, there you go.
Where is that?
$55 billion only.
It's in Zaire, yes.
In Congo.
The Congo.
That's crazy,
yeah.
Crazy. Highest point in the world. This is easy.
Mount Everest.
Or K2.
Oh.
No, Mount Everest still is standing.
The lowest point
in the world.
The lowest point. That would be...
New Orleans.
No. I think that's Death Valley again, isn't it?
No, it is not. The lowest known natural point in the world, Challenger Deep, 35,797 feet below sea level at the bottom of the Mariana Trench.
Yeah.
Only three people have ever made it down to the bottom. One of them was the filmmaker, James Cameron.
Wow. Stick around through the break, and we will get you right back, Sonny, okay?
You got it.
All right.
Welcome back to The American Adversaries, ladies and gentlemen. Some of the most entertaining and interesting radio you will find anywhere. That's because we have some of the best guests that you'll find anywhere, including our... Now she's our Arizona girl.
Well, I was going to say,
Sonny.
She's not really a guest anymore.
She's a part of the show. Yeah. Yeah, she's part of the fam.
I miss you. Special guest.
Don't tell her she's adopted.
I'm what you call the border girl, too. I'm Arizona and California.
That's right. Borderline something, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, of course, I might add, who is... The most popular radio station, it says here. Well, I think it's AM 660 Talk Radio.
There you go.
Sexy American Adversary.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and who's the hottest woman on radio? That'd be Sunny.
Hard to tell, but it does come true.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hope the voice, helps. But who has the most photographed place besides Kim K's butt?
Who has the most photographed what now place? The most photographed.
I'm going to say Kendall Jenner.
I would say either Mount Rushmore or the Statue of Liberty.
Wrong.
No.
This one was. I was scratching my head, but the Guggenheim.
Oh, okay. It's a unique style with the circles and the center.
Very, very cool place. Yeah, I get that.
I suppose so, yeah.
Yeah. How about the world's most popular country?
United States of America.
Darn. You know what?
It's not.
It is so not. The results of the annual BBC World Country Rating Poll are in, and Germany. Da-dum!
Are you serious?
Yeah, they came out on top.
Do you know any of the other? Where did the United States come in?
Oh, no, I have no idea. All I know is that their rating
out of the
world among people probably, by the way, under the age of 85 at 59% positivity rating. Popular country.
Yeah.
And that's truly, truly amazing. How about the wettest spot on Earth?
The wettest spot.
Yeah, and I won't, since we're on radio, I could go off.
I'm not going there, Hanny. I'm not going there.
Not touching that one.
No, I'm talking about the beach, guys. Sunny goes, on the surfboard in the water, of course.
In terms of rain, Hawaii.
Nope.
Seattle.
Nope.
Ecuador.
Nope. I can't even pronounce this place, but it looks like Malsinram, India.
They get the monsoons there.
Oh yeah, the average of 467, and mind you, in 35 is per inch, and with a record of 1,000 inches in 1985.
It's like 3 inches a day for a year.
That's crazy. Now the driest spot on the earth,
Death Valley,
would be
the Sahara Desert.
Wrong.
No, the driest spot.
The driest
Antarctica.
Spot on Earth.
Antarctica.
Nope. Antarctica.
I mean, all the ice down there, but it's frozen,
right? Yeah, it's dry, right?
Yeah,
it's
dry.
It's a good thing we're not giving away any prizes.
Yeah, we lose.
It's called the Atacama Desert. The 600 miles of South America's Atacama Desert is the driest place on Earth. No contest. The desert sees an average of 4 inches of rain every 1,000 years.
Yikes.
Yes. You heard right. That is crazy, guys. Every 1,000 years, 4 inches.
Well, I'm not going there on my vacation.
See, now that's more reason why we should go ahead and have global warming so we can change the climate down there and get more rain in that desert down there. All right.
Sunniest place on Earth before I go.
Yeah.
Wherever I'm at.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
It starts with a Y. And, of course, I'm really pretty close. It's so hot I can touch it.
Yuma, Arizona.
Very good. Da-ding, da-ding, da-ding. You're the winner.
You, my favorite guest, Sonny. You, my favorite.
All right. Thanks, Sonny. That was a lot of fun.
Sonny hugs and Sonny smiles, everybody.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next
week. Have a blessed Thanksgiving.
You
of
three.
Course.
You two, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
And gobble, gobble, turkey, of course.
Absolutely. Same to you.
And a lot of pumpkin pie. And think of the whipped cream, too.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Okay.
Bye, guys.
Thank you so much, Sonny.
Okay.
We appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. That was Sonny Patricia Summerlin, our California Glow Girl. Of course, Glow stands for Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, who were very popular, when it was on TV and everything. And, we love having her on the show. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number. You better call soon, though, if you want to get in on tonight's show, because we're coming around the bend, heading for the home stretch. In the next segment of the show, Johnny Guns has got some WTF news for us, then it's Lair's close. And tonight we're going to close out the show with God Bless America. I think we need to hear that, given what's going on in Washington, D.C., and all that fall. We still have a great nation in spite of this. Look at it this way. We could have a real bozo for our leader, Barack Obama.
We could, yeah.
And we do. And yet we still have the greatest game in town, bar none. So even with the state of affairs as they are today, we still have a whole lot to be thankful for, folks. And I hope that you will celebrate Thanksgiving with that in mind.
We can suffer through 8 years of any turkey.
Amen to that, Nostradamus. By the way, folks, you heard Patricia mention Roxy Pacifics. I tell you what, if you have not gotten a free bottle yet and would like one, give us a call at 407-774-8255. We'll take a couple of callers. Roxy Pacifics, of course, is the all-natural kelp solution, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, good for whatever ails your skin. I call it food for your skin because it makes your skin grow healthily.
Now, by the way, Chris, I don't know if you or Lair have mentioned on the air that we need to send some prayers out to Ed Roxy because he's been having some physical issues.
His throat's not better yet?
Been in and out of the hospital a couple times, but Luann put a note on Facebook recently and said, please pray for Ed. So let's all please pray for Ed.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Ed Roxy, he's a great fella. And, of course, this he's brought a lot of relief to a lot of people who suffer from skin ailments of various sorts. We certainly hope that and pray that Ed gets better. Please put him in your prayer. On your prayer list. And you can find out more about Roxy Pacifics by going to one of two websites, fixtheskin.com, fixtheskin.com, just write it all out, and or you can go to roxypacifics.net. That's spelled R-O-C-Z-E-Y. That's how Ed spells his name, Roxy, R-O-C-Z-E-Y, Pacifics with an X.net. And this stuff is really great. It's safe. And you can use it on anywhere you can spray it, you can use it. And that includes your kids, your wife, your husband, your in-laws, and your pets.
Yep. Yeah, and the fixtheskin.com, that's an easier website. But the roxypacifics.net, that's a better score if you're playing Scrabble. So, whichever. They both work.
The letters. But they'll both get you there. And it is a great product. And please do keep Ed Roxy in your prayers because they are such fine people, and we really feel fortunate to have them as part of our team as well. Okay, and just another quick reminder, we will be off on Thanksgiving, of course, and then also on Black Friday, but we will be back here next Sunday night, so you're not going to miss anything on Sunday night. And so we certainly hope that you will join us next Sunday, and of course we'll be here tomorrow as well. All right, when we come back, we got Johnny Guns, who's going to entertain us with some WTF news.
Woo-hoo!
Lair's got his closing comments in the can, so we'll be hearing those as well. And don't forget, John Butler book, Up the Dial at 8 o'clock, 950 WTLN.
It's not Black Friday, Chris. It's African American Friday.
I forgot.
Oh, it's so nice to be complimented by one of our greatest assets. Sunny, our California glow girl in Arizona. Speaking of our greatest assets, here's a man who's been called an asset, well, countless times throughout his life.
Got that right.
And that is our own Johnny Guns with some WTF news. And why do we call that WTF news, Johnny?
Because we do all of our research on them days called Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, which begins with a WTF.
Got it.
WTF news. Now, I got to go back to something y'all said at the end of the last break. Did you say that Lair Adams is in the can?
Yes, he is, but he'll be out before the last segment.
Okay, because that kind of goes with my last two stories. But first, you're going to have to suffer through the first one, figure out what I'm talking about.
Being in the can's better than being in the hooscow. Let me just tell you that right now.
Now, we all went to public school, didn't we?
I did.
Here in this
school.
Room?
For the most part,
that makes all three of us sweep it all around the room. What was your favorite part of school?
Recess.
Recess?
Yeah, that was right up there, yeah.
Recess? I got to admit, I liked my school lunches.
Yeah? Depending on which school.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, pizza day?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Pizza day. I wish I could have pizza day all year long.
Mystery meat day? No.
But you know what? Students today? Not too excited about their school lunches.
No. Nope.
Students disgruntled with their school lunch options have taken to social media to tweet pictures of their unappetizing-looking food under the hashtag, Thanks, Michelle Obama.
I love it.
Hunter Whitney, a student at Wisconsin's Richmond Center High School, said that his lunch dish was called Spanish rice and that his students are supplied with salt to make it have any taste. Other Twitter users commented that the mystery mush looks more like Spanish moss, or, you know, they compare it to floor sweepings mixed into fructose.
Could be.
The lunches have to comply with the food regulations implemented by the USDA and championed by the First Lady, who has taken on the challenge of fighting childhood obesity. At Austin High School in Minnesota, Maya Wirtz's lunch was a small serving of applesauce
and a sad chicken burger that she said tasted like pork. And I was looking at some of these school lunch pictures they're taking of their trays. Half of it's empty.
Huh.
So they're not even getting like a full school lunch.
Wow.
In July, Obama said she would, quote, fight until the bitter end to make sure that every kid in this country continues to have the best nutrition that they can have, unquote. The USDA guidelines implemented over the last few years include limits on calories, fat, sugar, sodium, and taste for all food and drinks during the school that are sold during the school day for 100,000 schools across the country.
Oh, my God.
That's just another reason to homeschool your kids.
Too much taste is not a good thing for a school lunch.
And the food finds its way into the trash.
That's right.
It's a waste.
You have healthy trash cans.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Genco. Have you ever heard of Genco? They're an English company. Well, Genco, they provide fuel. Let's just put it that way. And they say that their fuel for their 40-seat bio bus is produced at the Bristol Sewage Treatment Works.
Oh, that kind of fuel.
Where human waste and food unfit for consumption are put through a process to create biomethane.
Yep. Natural gas.
Yeah. Mohammed Sadiq is the general manager of Genco. He says, quote, through treating sewage and food that's unfit for human consumption, we're able to produce enough biomethane to provide a significant supply of gas to the national gas network that's capable of powering almost 8,500 homes, as well as fueling our biobus. They say that it takes the annual waste from about five people to create one tank of biomethane for the bus that can run up to 186 miles on one tank.
Wow.
The Bath Bus Company is running the bio bus on a 20-mile A4 route between the airport in Bristol, England, and appropriately, the city of Bath, England.
Mm. You know, you mentioned the National Gas Network.
Yeah.
I was not aware MSNBC had changed their name.
That might be what they're called over in Joliet, England.
Man.
All right, well, let's come back a little closer to home, right? San Francisco, you know, they have a major, I guess you could call it, homeless problem. Well, there's a far more troubling issue in San Francisco. It concerns complaints about human messes in the city. Mm. as revealed in a series of poo maps.
Maps?
Maps.
Oh.
Web developer Jennifer Wong created her human wasteland maps based on complaints to the city about human poo. She turned the data into a compelling picture where the problem exists using images of tiny poos marked on monthly maps covering complaints from January to June 2013, which she says are approximately 4,000 data points, or what I call 4,000 data droppings. The maps not only show the worst neighborhoods for the messes, but are also a graphic indication of the city's homeless problem. Estimates of the San Francisco homeless population range from 6,000 to 10,000. Funding cuts for the Parks and Recreation Department has slashed the number of functioning public bathrooms, leaving the homeless few choices. Wong tells the website Mashable, it's easier for people to place blame on the homeless, but they need to take a bigger picture and see that they have nowhere to go, to sleep, use the toilet, to shower. The obvious solution is to provide more public facilities throughout the city.
Does Tony Bennett need to rewrite that song?
I left that thing
in San Francisco.
Oh, you guys are awful.
New San Francisco treats.
Ooh, speaking of poo, did you hear the story out of Poland?
No.
No.
About Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, are you kidding? I was going to do that story.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't until you started talking about poo, and then I said, well, I got to do the story.
Whip it out, Johnny.
Whip it out. That story.
All right. Polish city bans Winnie the Pooh at playgrounds claiming dubious sexuality. This is what you were talking about.
He doesn't wear pants, for God's sake.
Winnie the Pooh was being run out of town, and it's not for taking all the honey. The cartoon bear's image was banned from a playground in a Polish city because members of the town council believe him to be
a hermaphrodite.
And he doesn't wear any pants.
That's right. The issue came up when it was proposed that Pooh be the patron of the playground, but the more conservative members of the council took issue with the fact that he's only half dressed.
He doesn't wear any pants.
One counselor said he calls him an it, doesn't wear underpants because it doesn't have a sex. It's a hermaphrodite. And they're blaming that they're blaming this on the cruelty of his author, A.A. Milne.
You can't see anything there.
By the way, Donald Duck and Bugs Bunny have been turned down, too, because they don't wear
they
any
don't
pants.
Wear, yeah.
Wait, is Mr. Peanut allowed in Poland?
No.
He doesn't wear
any pants.
He's got the monocle and the top hat, but he has no pants.
No, he has no pants.
Oh, my word.
That's crazy. SpongeBob has them,
yeah,
but
yeah,
I'm concerned about his own sexuality. I really am.
He always hangs out with that Patrick, though.
I know. It's kind of unnerving.
But they would probably allow Pee-wee Herman because... Well, never mind.
At least he's got pants on.
He wears pants.
Sometimes. All right. Well, speaking of clothing, did you hear that the UK is just about to outlaw beer ties?
Beer ties?
Yeah. Now, a beer tie is not that thing that, you know, when you have too many beers and you go to drink one and you spill it all down the front of your shirt. That's not what I'm talking about.
What are you talking about?
Beer ties. In the UK, if you own a pub... and you are any way affiliated with a franchise or a larger operator, you can only sell that type beer.
Okay.
So you are tied to that type of beer. Well, of course, you're talking about a lot of street corner pubs.
Sure.
In England.
Thousands.
Exactly. And so the people over there want a bit more of choice when it comes to drinking their brew.
Sure. They want multi choices.
Exactly. So they're going to finally, at least they're contemplating doing away with the beer tie, which will be bad for the beer companies, but really good for the beer drinkers, which you would think would be good for the beer companies.
The beer companies would open up just like Anheuser-Busch does. They'd have little tasting centers outside their breweries.
There you go.
That'd be fun. Say beer tie. That's the only way you'll get me to wear a tie.
Next week on the show, I hope Lucas is here with the head cam. I will wear my beer tie. I have one.
Do you really?
Yes.
All right. I put one on about every couple of days.
You tie one on, right?
Just kidding. By the way, have you heard about the llama girls?
Oh, do tell.
The Llama Girls in St. Pete Beach.
Might have to go visit them.
Yeah, you're on your way over that side of the woods.
Yeah. Right. Actually, the Llama Girls were a couple of girls who, in a wedding, they were part of the wedding party, and it was their duty to lead two llamas down the aisle.
Wait, the llamas weren't getting married, were they?
No.
And
the groom was not marrying one of them either. No,
okay.
No, actually, these were just as part of the wedding ceremony because the groom knew that the bride loves animals and wanted to have something special for the ceremony.
Sure.
This is becoming more common. In Las Vegas, they have elephants that will be part of your wedding ceremony. And, of course, you've heard of butterflies being released.
Yes.
Yeah.
PETA hates all of it.
Sure. Of course.
Which is why I love it. And I hope you love the American Ave series, folks, because we're not done yet. So please don't go away. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. Don't forget, at 8 o'clock, John Butler Book comes on live on Up the Dial at 950 WTLN and right here on AM 660 The Answer. Of course, you have Armed American Radio. But right now, even though Lair's not here, his words are here, and we're looking forward to hearing them just like you. So take it away, Lair.
Thanks a lot, guys. Sorry I couldn't be in with you. I know it's been a great show. It's happening again, that holiday time of year. Next week is Thanksgiving, and then the turkey is chased once again by a jolly bearded fat man. Oh, excuse me, a person of incorrect body mass index. Look around you. You can see the sights, the lights, and the magical shift in everyone's focus. You'll start thinking about decorating your habitat and whether you should just junk all the old Christmas baubles and buy new ones. Or save time and money by keeping the old stuff and, hey, change the location of the tree. It's different. Yes, this is the season when there are so many shiny, interesting things to see. Why, with all the distraction and stress, it's easy to imagine missing, well, and even ignoring what these holidays are really about. I bring this up because there is a large segment of our population that remains basically invisible. They are the no-see-ums of American humanity. They're not parasitic, but we've made them too small to see, too well camouflaged. It is a phenomenon that began 6 or 7 decades ago, before we made these people invisible. Back when families, from birth to death, stayed together when possible. I call these unseen people the onlys. You see them everywhere, especially this time of year. They can be the bell ringer, the clerk, the handicapped woman on the bench, or the old man who just bagged your groceries. They are the people who, for one reason or another, have no one but themselves. They have no family, these onlys, at least none that will have anything to do with them. They have no real friends. If they are employed, their relationship with their co-workers stops at the time clock. They are the people we see every day, but never see. The other group of onlys is the aged and the infirmed. Families today are eager to relinquish responsibility for their elderly to strangers, and then forget them. Nursing facilities are a wonderful godsend when home care is not an option, but they are not places to abandon elderly burdens. My mother's in a nursing home, for now, and I visit her daily. This is where I've seen the largest population of onlys. Many have outlived all their family and friends. Others, sadly, were dropped off and forgotten, like newborn babies left at the orphanage door. However, there are those whose goal in life is to make those onlys feel not so only. A gentleman who works for the utility department comes to my mom's facility every day on his lunch break. He used to visit his mother there until she passed away. He still comes every day. He saw the forgotten, whose eyes search for someone, anyone who cares, and found he could be that someone. And you thought angels had to have wings. This holiday season, look past the flash. Look for the onlys. And make sure you make them feel less only. After all, that's only what this time of year is all about. And have a great week.
And that's only some good stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, even when he's not here.
You know, that reminds me of when about 5 years ago, I was in the hospital having surgery. And I only had to stay in the hospital for a couple of days. But a lady came by. I thought, oh, boy, what's this going to be about? She came in with a little accordion and played the accordion for a couple of songs. And I said, thank you. And she left, and I kind of shook my head. But then I thought, if there are people in the hospital long term, this might be the best live entertainment they get all week.
Absolutely.
So God bless her.
Absolutely. And the same for that fellow from the utility company who still goes day after day.
Yeah. God bless him.
Absolutely. And that's not easy to do, folks. It's not. And I'm not talking about the logistics of it, you know, taking the time. I'm talking about the mental sacrifice, mm-hmm. if you will.
Sure.
So, all right. Thank God for people like that in the United States of America, and thank God for the United States of America. And we thank God for you listeners out there, because we really wouldn't be wasting our time here without you, of course. But we certainly hope that you have a great Thanksgiving week, Thanksgiving day, Thanksgiving weekend, and certainly appreciate it and appreciate our country and the fact that we can have a president like Barack Obama, and we will survive and we will do better. And this country, if anything, he's just setting us up for a great time after he's gone. If we get the right people in the right place, this economy will boom like never has done before. That's the beauty of it. No matter what we've done before, we can always outdo it.
January 21st, 2017, the stock market is going to have the biggest gains it's had in a single day in decades.
All right. Well, you heard that from Nostradamus. So get your money ready to get it in the right place.
Yep.
All right, just a couple of quick notes. One note, John Butler book will have a new show on tonight, but it is recorded. It won't be live, but it's still very much worth listening to, regardless of that. I believe he's out of town, but he should be back next week. And so still go up to 950 WTLN and listen to John's show. And then, of course, you always have Armed American Radio, which is live every Sunday night right here on AM 660, The Answer. Also, don't forget, Thursday and Friday, we will be taking off, but we will be back here next Sunday.
John just handed me a note. This is important. Hey, wait, you predict the past, not the future. I knew you were going to write that.
And please, once again, keep Ed Roxy in your prayers. He's a great part of our organization here. And as I said, he's brought a lot of relief to a lot of you folks out there. So please keep him in your prayers. And hopefully we can bring some relief to him as well.
Amen.
Okay. Also, don't forget Carl Jackson's show live every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, and catch his articles at his website, carljacksonshow.com, and like him at Facebook. And also, you can find his work on at townhall.com and a lot of other places.
Apparently, a few dozen other websites.
Yeah. If you,
he didn't know
as
about.
A surprise to Carl as much as it was to us, but if you Google his latest article.
Yeah, the headline of the article.
Which is?
Black Thugs Are Not Black Heroes.
Wait, yeah. I'm a guest contributor where? Yeah, you are, Carl.
All right, folks. So that's going to wrap it up for tonight. We certainly hope you enjoyed tonight's show.